Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I am the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer and the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. All right, Chris, so after round one, we talked about Malik Nabers and what he can bring to the offense. And look, a very talented guy. He's going to change, you know, he's going to help a lot, and he's going to make other guys better. He should make other guys better. And Daniel Jones finally has a number one, a true bona fide number one receiver. And then in rounds two through six, they filled some needs. There were some surprises. We can talk about it. We're not here to downplay anything or be bummers, but there was a little bit of a surprise with some of the picks that they, you know, and I'll get into what I think. I'll say it now. I was surprised they didn't take anything along the offensive or defensive lines, but round two, and I guess we can start there. They got the highest safety on most draft boards in Tyler Newbin. Now, this guy is a playmaker. He's a hitter. He seems to be a team leader, brings a lot to the table. So I was pretty excited about him. But again, Chris, we'll go over each pick and the whole theme of the draft. But I think, rounds two through six, I was a little surprised we didn't pick any linemen on either side of the ball. That's all.
Yeah, I thought they would go a guard in the middle of rounds. Yeah. I did. You know, and he brought guards into the building too, visiting. And so, you kind of get a feel sometimes with that chain. So I was a little surprised, but no offensive line.
Yeah.
And I was a little surprised at no defensive line.
Yeah,
I was, that's where you win, that's where you win these games, up front in the trenches. And obviously, Jerry, we talked after the Nabers pick, but I think that I thought they would take a flyer on a quarterback. I am surprised that we went through this 2024 draft and no quarterback was drafted. Especially in the fourth round and, Rattler was still there. And I was like, they're going to take a flyer on Rattler here, bring him in and see if they could develop him and all that stuff. They didn't. So, like you said, they fill some needs. Obviously, you lose McKinney. They drafted Tyler Newbin, who's like a McKinney-type guy. You know, he could play center field. He could play in open-up box. He could get some picks. He's a bull hawk-type guy. So, Newbin looks like, he was like, when you hear guys like Nick Saban say, oh, I love this kid, that's good, right? I mean, that's always positive. You see him on tape. You saw him in Minnesota. Very active safety. So you kind of replace McKinney with a rookie contract, right? It's
right.
Like the same player in a lot of ways.
Yep.
We'll see, obviously McKinney's got a resume. He played every snap last year. So Newbin will be in there. It'll be him and Pinnock probably at the safety positions for the Giants next year, So, look, there was a couple corners on the board in the second round that went after Tyler Newbin. Teams jumped on with Lions with one of them. But the Giants decided to go with the safety. There was a hole there. Shane Bowen's a safety guy, three safety look. Mm-hmm. His defense, is around safeties. Part of safety is a big part of his defensive scheme.
Yep.
And it looks like they got a real active one, Jerry. So that was good. I mean, I'm anxious to see this guy crying, emotional, loves,
he was just so emotional. Yeah, that was a great video. Yeah,
that was a great video. So that's what they did in the second round. There was still, like I said, there was still some good corners on the board.
Yeah.
I thought maybe they would go with a corner, but they Newbin was very high in their board and they went with him.
Yeah, and of course Philly trades up to number 40 and gets Cooper DeJean. Of course they did. Naturally, you made a move, Howie, and people continue to trade with Howie Roseman. It's amazing that he pulls it off. It's not about them, but that was a guy that, as you saw him falling, Chris, I was texting you like, oh, I hope they get this guy, and it would be great. And I'm not disappointed with Tyler Newbin. Trust me, I'm excited, but I'm with you. I thought a corner made a lot of sense there, and whether you trade up or take the next two that were available. But again, Tyler Newbin's should be a very good player, and like you said. The video of him, getting emotional. That's what you want. You want guys who want to be here. So, I was excited about that. In the third round, they took Andrew Phillips, a corner, right? Now, okay, they took a corner. Stop complaining, guys. I'm not complaining. But he seems slated for the slot. And if there's one thing in the secondary that we seem to have a lot of, it's slot corners, right? So that tells me either Flott or McLeod are going to play on the outside. Now, if you're going to go McLeod on the outside, he's a guy we both like and have rooted for. I hope it works, right? I don't think Flott is going to be an outside corner, but, you know, taking Andrew Phillips, it was like, all right, he's, again, another guy who's very happy to be here, was emotional, love it, but it was, okay, you took a slot corner. Like, Chris, I didn't know if you were surprised by that or what your thoughts were. I was a little surprised.
No, because I was putting on Twitter that they really like Andrew Phillips. They brought him in the building. I said, watch this guy.
Yeah.
It's like him. He was going up the boards. He had a great senior week, senior bowl and all that stuff. So, look, he's like an inside-out corner, Jerry. You know, he's not like a Tate Banks. He's going to play 400-plus snaps on the outside. But he's an inside-out. You know, it'll be him and Flott. You know, I'm sure in the beginning of camp, it looks like, from what Shane said, they'll have him on the inside.
Yep.
Flott will be on the outside. And – you know, though, and of course, you know, if he's there, if he's, you know, obviously if he's playing, you know, if he's on the roster, he'll be on the roster. But what I'm saying is if he's there on game day, you know, they'll be inside. He'll play some in the slot, playing some on the outside, or in camp, he'll be on the outside. The kid did play outside. His snap count in Kentucky last season was basically around even. You know, I think he's maybe 50 snaps more, 160, something like that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Inside to outside, you know, and slot to outside. So, okay. Look, the kid. No, I understand you'd have interceptions, not, you know, but, and like he likes to put it, like Shane likes to put it, very sticky corner.
Yeah.
It's right up in the receivers, you know. Another guy Nick Saban really loved. Another guy praised him, you know what I mean? So that when you see things like Nick Saban coming out saying, oh, this is one of our guys, we're really impressed with this guy, that's good too, you know. I'm not too worried, Jerry, about the interception thing. I know people are like, oh, he's got no picks. You know, to me, I've seen that over the years, and then a guy plays his first season, he's got four picks, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not concerned about that. I look at the man coverage and the Giants, like I said, like I was telling everybody on Twitter, I said, the Giants like this guy. He's really, you know, a prime example of a senior bowl, right? Senior week, senior
bowl. Yeah, right.
Really helping players. You know, when you go down there and you play well against competition and then you go in the game, man, you could really go up the draft board. And he's a prime example. He was a fourth, fifth round grade, Jerry. Had a great senior bowl. Wait, boom. Giants brought him in on a T30 visit. There he is. I said, watch for him in the middle rounds. I said, watch. And he went with the third pick. The Giants are pretty happy to have him.
So Rob Cosis asked about Hawkins. He's actually somebody I forget about, Chris, Trey Hawkins. So yeah, I guess
he's going to be in the mix.
He's going to be in the mix as well. Sure. Rob Cosis, who's Lightning, are now up 1-0, but Florida's challenging it. Good luck, Rob. I hope they take him 7. All right. Now, let's see. I'm looking at the comments here. I want to see if Hawkins and Bryce Ford Wheaton will be fired. I hope so. We'll see. Ask Jackson about no picks. Richie M. Then in the fourth round, pick that got me excited because, you know, basically, you know, Darren Waller's retired now, right? Theo Johnson, tight end, Penn State. Guy with a ton of ability. I think you said the thing with him is inconsistency, right? Like, it sometimes he disappears. In other games, he looks like he could be all world. So, huge kid. It was a position of need as well. Now, credit to you. You said before the draft you thought they'd add a tight end. I didn't have him taking a tight end. But it's a position of need. It's one of those things where it's like, my God, we need so much. How much can we add? So, Johnson, not sure if did you see him in the fourth round? Were you happy with it? What'd you think?
Yeah. I saw him fourth or fifth round. I did. Jerry, I got to be honest with you. When that fourth round came up, and that kid from Tennessee, the running back, right?
Yep,
was on the board.
Yeah,
I thought they were going to go with him. He's a burner. Yeah. He's a home run hitter. And, you know, that's all Dable's talked about for 2 years. It's like, we got to add speed in this damn team, man. We're too damn slow. You know, he said it numerous times when he was on the board. And we were all thinking, right, Jerry, that they're going to go running back in the middle rounds, maybe towards the later round, fifth, sixth pick.
Sure.
They didn't have a seventh round. And I saw that kid on the board. I was like, oh, man, they're going to jump all over this kid because this kid's a burner. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But they really liked Theo Johnson for Penn State. Look, we talked about it. Darren Waller, we don't think he's going to be back. You know, we'll see. I know. I know a lot of people are sick of Waller. A lot of people.
Jake Farry says, I'm sick of Waller.
You know. Yeah, no. I see this guy, Chris, he did add speed, tight end, 4.57. No, that's good. But that's not Jalen Wright's speed. Jalen Wright was a burner. That's what I'm talking about. A running back, that get every touch, he could go 70 yards. I don't know if you ever saw him play or not. You know, Theo Johnson's not Jalen Wright's speed.
Yeah.
So that's what I was talking about.
Yep.
Not that Theo's slow for the tight end, but look, he's a very – Theo Johnson's very, very talented kid, Jerry. He can run routes, you know. Penn State loved him. The Giants, as it got closer to the draft, they heard about the Giants looking tight end more because, like I told you a couple weeks ago,
they're
not expecting Waller back. All right. I know they keep saying, well, we're going to leave it to him and they're giving him time and space. But right now, they're not expecting him back. But who knows? You know, with Darren, you know, he might say, all right, in June, mini camp comes. All right. You know, so and all that stuff. But look, Jimmy Graham, I see people here. It's the fourth round pick until they start playing. I'm not comparing Theo Johnson to Jimmy Graham's, and he's going to be a great tight end and all that stuff. We'll see how these kids pan out, but it was definitely a position in need. Definitely a guy that could go out and run routes, Jerry.
Yeah, right.
You know, a guy that could receive. Right. A guy that could get down those seams. And you see the way he runs those little routes. He's a good route runner. And the Giants are happy to have him. And look, especially if Waller retires, which we all kind of expect, like we said a million times.
Yeah.
Nice kid to have in there. You know, and here's the thing, too, about Theo, is that in today's day and age, right, Jerry, these tight ends, a lot of them are so many like receivers, right? Line up at a slot, you know, not really in line. But he could block, too. This kid likes to get – he likes to mix it up and block, and that's something that's a plus. You know, in today's football, you get a kid who could receive at a tight end position. Well, could he block, you know? He could block. He could block a little bit, this kid. So everybody should like him.
So through four rounds, you have two guys who have a very good – I mean, Neighbors are starting. But you have two guys with Newman that has a very good chance of starting, I would say.
They better, right, Jerry? Round one and two. They better be starting.
I mean, like you said, dude, you got to hit home runs. You got to hit it over the Green Monster on this
one.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, Phillips will have a chance. I think Johnson will have a chance for playing time. I would imagine Bellinger is going to be the starter. But through four picks, you probably have two starters right away. So
yes, I agree.
Then round five. Yeah, that's right, Chris. They better be. No goal for Tampa, Rob. Sorry about that, buddy. Taken off the board. Yeah, they better be, right? Yeah. We need starters.
Better be. Need a safety.
We need a lot. We need starters, bro.
27th overall pick. These kids better be starting, bro. You know?
So okay.
You kind of get the feeling. You're going to look at Philly, and you're going to see the Cooper DeGene, and you're going to see the other guy starting from day one. Or in the middle. At least one of them is going to be starting.
And, of course, they got Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Anyway. Round five. It's a little bit of a surprise pick, but one I kind of like when I heard his backstory. 24 years old, converted wide receiver, Tyrone Tracy from Purdue.
Yeah.
His yardage after being hit was one of the top in the country. So, again, more of a project, but I like this pick. I think it's exciting, but, you know, it remains to be seen. But, you know, again, not too many complaints so far through five, other than the fact that they didn't draft a guard, they didn't draft defensive tackle. But I think if you're taking a flyer on someone, you know, maybe you take him in round five, unless, Chris, you had guys in round five that you said, well, probably would have taken this guy over him.
Yeah, not really. I would be bullshitting if I said that, Jerry,
in
round five, you know. But I think this is – you look at this draft pick, dude, and this is strictly a rule change.
That's great point. Yes. Yep.
Because the kick can return kickoffs.
And what's – yeah.
And the kickoff return is going to be huge
this
year. Yeah. It's going to be huge. It could be a difference maker in games.
It's a great point.
Joe Shane and Dable looked at this kid.
Bill.
You know, looked at this kid.
Yeah.
Looked at this kid.
Year early.
And said, hey, this kid, you know, he had a 98-yard kickoff return last year. The kid's real good. Look, kickoff return is going to be huge this year. It's back. Mm-hmm. No question about it. And they looked at that and said, all right, this kid could give us some, you know, he could get out of the, you know, he's a running back first year. But, he's going to compete for that kickoff return position. No question about it. That's what As soon as they drafted him, Jerry, and I saw his background, right? I said, oh, that's a rule change pick right there. Boom.
Yeah, right. Yep.
You know, so that's what Joe – smart. It's smart. You know?
Bill Hartnett says he's a pinball of a man, bounces off tacklers. Yeah, I mean, you look at his highlights, dude. Does not go down easy. So should be a lot of fun. Like you said, at least he'll be able to – and that's a good thing about that rule change, Chris, because for a while it was like – the NFL was making it so that kickoff returns were never happening, right? Punt returns, one thing. So it was like, yeah, may as well put Gary Brightwell back there because, just kneel it or get to the 25-yard line. We're good.
Put Chris Pizzignano back there. Everybody puts it through the end zone. What's the difference?
right, exactly.
You know? But they brought it back, and they look at it like, okay, we're not worried about safety because guys, they're starting on a 45, the opponent's 45, whatever it is. So they're not running 40 yards down the field with a full steam, full blast to kill somebody, By the time they get going, the guys will be down. It's like a running play, like an extended sort of like little running play or something, Right. So it's going to be, but it's going to be big, it's going to be back, And I looked at that and I said, yeah, that's Joe Shane saying, hey, we got a kickoff attorney here. We got a running back. Don't get me wrong, but this kid's going to be back there returning kicks.
And then last but not least in round six, UCLA linebacker Darius Masao. Look, not a guy that's probably going to start by any means, but a good special teams player, good character guy. And this is the round that, it's a depth pick and a special teams pick. Again, another guy who seemed grateful to be drafted and, wants to be here and, again, nothing, not complaining, just trying to, like you said, I think a million times, you can't grade a draft till 3 years later. And I'm not going to sit here and put grades on anything until you see these guys play. You got to temper the enthusiasm. But look, and this is, again, round six is a pick, is a round where a lot of times you take a special teams guy. So,
yeah, like a depth special teams guy. No question about it. And that's where he's going to be. And he'll be entering camp with that role, and we'll see what happens. So kind of a smaller kid, but, reading up on him, I don't know him. I'd be lying if I said I know him.
Yeah,
but reading up on him, he has pretty good running instincts. But he's just not the biggest kid,
Right.
But a special team guy.
Yeah,
and we've seen that this offseason, right? Training guys trying to show up those special teams. And Jerry, it's gonna be so important this year because guys are gonna be returning kickoffs, man.
Right. It's gonna be fun again.
Yeah, you got a shitty, crappy special teams. And we've seen some shaky special team play around here the last few years, boy.
Right.
So it could cost you games, field position and all that stuff, man. It could cost you this year. So you better be pretty good in special teams again.
And our punt returner is solidified with Gunner. So things are looking up on the return game, buddy. I'm so psyched that we got Gunner back. So
I mean, absolutely. Jerry, you settled down the position.
Yes.
We went from, very shaky, whatever, great to a guy to not only did he settle down the position, he gave us a kickoff return. Excuse me, a punt return.
Punt return.
He gave us a punt return against the Rams. Special teams play of the week. And the big thing about Gunner, as we all know, is that when that ball's in the air, you say to yourself, okay, I'm not worried.
Right.
Not worried about a muff, right? Not like that. So, and that was huge. And that was a good sign by Joe last season, and he brought it back for another year, which I thought was very smart.
Yeah. All right, guys. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Listen to the Giant Insider Podcast. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody Eats the Biz, Bizignano. So at running back, you got Singletary, Eric Gray, this new kid, Tracy. Brightwell's probably the odd man out, I would think. The 2021 draft, my God. And I guess Corbin is still there, right?
Yeah, Sean's still there,
Singletary, clearly the starter. But I'm just wondering, they're going to give Eric Gray more of a shot this year, you think? I know he was concentrating on punt returns last year.
That ain't happening, bro.
Was a disaster.
Let me tell you something. If I see him back on punt returns with Gunner there, somebody should drug test Brian Dable.
You getting escorted off the practice field.
I was calling for that last year. What the hell are these guys looking at?
Yeah.
Anyway, no, we got the punt returner, right? We're not going to see that. But Gray's a talented kid.
Yeah,
I know he went out and he drafted a running back / kickoff return and all that, but I like Eric Gray, Jerry. I want to see him. I'm looking forward to seeing him in year two. I really am. I like him as a back.
I think because of the nature of the position and the pounding you take, I almost think you have to take a running back almost every year at some point in the draft just to keep everybody fresh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the way it's going now. It's like, let's take another running back.
Jerry, speaking of running backs, man, I was shocked Dallas didn't draft one high.
Unbelievable.
I thought they were going to go in the first round. Yeah. I thought when they came up, the 25th pick or whatever?
Yeah.
And they took all their time, right? Mm. So I'm saying to myself, I know what's going on here.
Yeah.
Jerry's arguing with his kid, probably.
Yeah, right.
Steven probably wants this guy, and Jerry wants a running back, and Steven wants an offensive lineman. And a lot of times his son wins those. Unfortunately for us, because Steven wins out a lot of these arguments and drafts very good players.
Right.
While Jerry wants guys like Manziel, you know? So I see them using the whole time, and I'm seeing myself, they're going back and forth. That room is going back and forth about a running back or an offensive lineman.
Right.
I don't know if for a fact, I just, the feeling I was getting, I thought they would go with a running back. I really did.
Yeah.
And they didn't go to running back at all. Maybe they went late. I don't know if it was late in the draft, but I was surprised by that, Joe.
I think they're signing Ezekiel Elliott back, right?
So what?
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, wow, like that's the plan.
He's all right, but he's not. All right. He's not the.
And Gallup just left for the Raiders. Michael Gallup just left for the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their running back room. It's like, wow, you know, it's like I was shocked they didn't draft a running back high. I really was. I really was. That surprised me big time. Just staying in the division. As far as surprises, you know, Washington feels they really had a nice draft, and obviously they got their quarterback. And man, I was looking at their roster yesterday. They brought a lot of new guys in, man. You know, and they got a whole new coaching staff. They're going to be an interesting team this year, dude. They really are.
Well, they're not the pushover. That's what I keep saying. They're not the pushover anymore.
Yeah. You know? So, and then the Eagles, they feel they regrouped, bro. They feel they restocked, ready to roll. You know, so
the only thing that surprised me with the Eagles was kind of with the Giants. They didn't take linemen. They didn't take offensive or defensive linemen. They took, two corners. They're going to a linebacker. I think a receiver. I was a little surprised by that, especially with Fletcher Cox and Kelce gone. So I was, that was the only thing. But they got their first two picks were, you know, top 30 guys, of course. So
we'll see if they pan out. We'll see. You know, time will tell.
Yeah.
Look, as far as the Giants, this is it. It's Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito on the roster.
Yeah.
This is going to be the quarterback situation, you know?
Yeah.
And if Daniel doesn't play well, or if he gets injured or whatever it might be, Jerry, in September, and he's just not playing well, or God forbid he gets injured, the Giants are going to be 5-12, 6-11 again.
Yeah.
If he plays well, right?
Yeah.
They'll be up in that 8-9, you know, and like they were a couple of years ago, and try to win some games, try to get that wild card and all that. But I'm sorry, but Jerry, I look at this Giants roster right now, and I just don't see competing for the division. I don't.
No. Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. You know, I don't, you know. You see what reading what people are saying, I just.
I'm sorry, Chris. I didn't see that. I didn't know they took a lineman. I thought they didn't. So it was maybe through five rounds. My bad. Thanks for that. Said Chris James says Philly took the second best lineman on Michigan's offensive line. I didn't see it. Sorry. Thank you. Go ahead, Chris.
Right. So we'll see. You know, Goose. Daniel's the guy, bro. Daniel's the guy. And all that. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully Daniel plays well, you know, hopefully Daniel shows that 2022 Daniel, Jerry, that, you know, only a few turnovers, five picks, didn't turn the ball over, no injuries and all that stuff. That's what you have to hope for, and they'll compete for that wild card, you know, if Daniel plays well. But I just don't see right now the division. I don't see them. I didn't really see them closing the gap on Dallas and Philadelphia. You know, I really don't.
No, and it's funny, man, the difference – different Jones opinions out there. I think Jones is limited, but will surprise people this year. I hope you're right. I'd rather see the more careful version of 2022, but also the line played better. Last year's line was pathetic. Thanks, Chris. All good. Yep. And then there was another comment about the quarterback room doesn't scare anyone, somebody said. But look, man, it's all in. We're all in on Jones now. They did not draft a quarterback. Like you said, I was expecting maybe Rattler in the fourth or fifth. And look, to be honest, guys, just so you know, when Chris and I last got off the podcast, I said to him, and he agreed, that if they take Spencer Rattler in round two, they're panicking. But if they take him later, they're not. So they didn't take him at all. So I was kind of glad that they didn't take him in round two, because I thought it would have been a panic move. But look, I guess, you know, they wanted apparently one guy, right? They wanted one quarterback, and that was it. And outside of that, they were going to try to improve the rest of the team. So, you know, I got to ask Chris, because this came up today. I'm just going to ask one time. It was a comment I highlighted earlier from the Crunch Bunch. There's a report that's been intentionally put out there to make it seem like the Giants weren't moving on from DJ. So Adam Schefter reported that the Giants were trying to trade up to 3 to draft Joe All and that the quarterback stuff was a smokescreen.
Really?
Okay, we can leave it at that. All right.
Not what I heard, but I'm not saying I know more than Shefty. Obviously, I don't.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't make sense, though. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Just because, you know, there's smokescreen before the draft, I don't think there's not smokescreen after the draft, too. Smoke, too, after the draft.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, but that doesn't even make sense to trade up. You want Joel that bad? You're willing to give up, you know, a first, a second, and a first next year? Like, really? Is he Anthony Munoz? I don't want to downplay how great Joel can be, Chris.
No, he's not.
But no. Okay.
And if you want an offensive tackle that bad, you had like to read him at six.
The Penn State kid that the Jets got.
So you're trying to say that Joe and his staff had nobody else graded in the first round?
And that Joel is that much better than the guy the Jets drafted?
Yeah, look, I could tell you the Giants, I remember him from somebody after he visited the building that they absolutely love Joel. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But to say they were going to trade up to three and, you know, look, Jerry, there's a lot of, first of all, who gives a shit now? The draft is over, you know, but to I did not hear that. Maybe Schefter heard it from somebody reliable. I did not hear that. From what I understand, it was they were trying to get Drake May, but it didn't happen. New England wasn't trading out,
probably. I mean, it made total sense. I don't even know what you know. And I had been trading up for Drake May because it just seemed like the logical quarterback for the Giants. That was going to be the guy to trade up for Joe All. You think the fan base was nuclear when we took Daniel Jones? You trade up to three and then take Joe All? I mean, you would have, look, again, nothing against Joe All. He might be a Hall of Famer, but you would have people handing in season tickets for that kind of a move. Really? Like, Joe, you trade up to three and don't take your next quarterback? Okay. Wow.
There's a lot of people wanting in the season tickets right now because they didn't get a quarterback.
Right. Yes. That's I haven't noticed Twitter. I'm joking. It's the most, look, we appreciate everyone chiming in. We got 584 people watching, all you guys in the chat, but I mean, X and Twitter is going to be just a horrible place for the next year or two. I'm convinced of it. It's great for like the Knicks and Rangers right now, but holy shit with the Giants. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's pretty toxic. You know?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's the attacks are fast and furious from everyone all the time. Boys, unofficial president of Tyler Newbern Fan Club, Giants Nation, love this kid, Tom. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, absolutely. Some, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, no. Look, everybody's going to love Tyler Newbern. I'm telling you right now. You're going to love Tyler Newbern, bro.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to love him. No question about it. He is a safety. You know, he's a safety that's all over the place. And a big thing about Tyler Newbern, and you know, he has something that you can't teach, bro. And he's a ball hawk. Yeah. He's a ball hawk.
13 interceptions.
Ball hawk. He's around the ball. Like, you know what, Jerry? Even though he's not, you know, he's not as talented as Tyler Newbern, but a lot like Dane Belton, you know? Like, Dane always seems to be around the ball, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I love Dane Belton.
I know you love him. Yeah, he's always, and he'll be there in camp competing. Yeah. You know? But he's one of those guys, right? He's always seems to be around the ball.
And Bowen gives a three safety look a lot, right?
Yes, yes.
So Belton Mike is going to get a decent amount of playing time, I would imagine.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, don't forget, you got Jalen Mills out there too. So we'll see.
Oh,
we'll see how, you know.
I hope not. Sorry, I am not a fan. Oh, that was a let's pick him up in case we can't take anyone else in the draft. Oh, maybe. Oh, well, all right. Anyway, sorry. I'm on the record. I am not a Jalen Mills guy. But we'll see. All right. So after all those picks, Chris, one question, two parts. What are you most excited about and what are you very, very concerned about on this team? Could be anything.
Well, I'm very excited about Malik Nabers, Jerry, because he's an Odell Beckham type of guy, you know, and we all know what Odell did when he came here, man, as a rookie in his first 3 years with Eli. It was electric, Jerry.
Yeah.
It was electric. Now, you know, Daniel's not Eli Manning. You know, and, you know, a very good receiver is not going to make a average quarterback phenomenal. You know, let's not get crazy. You know what I mean? But you hope it elevates Daniel's game, and it should. It should, dude. You know, so I'm very excited about having that explosive number one receiver. I really am, Jerry. You know, because we haven't seen this, dude, right? I mean, you know, we haven't seen this since Odell.
Mm-hmm.
For that, Jerry, we were kind of spoiled a little bit. We had Akeem, You know, we had Plaxico.
Moment of silence. Oh, Victor Cruz, Manningham. What a threesome that was.
Right, you know.
Oh, my God.
But as far as explosive-wise, you know, Akeem Nicks used to take slants and go. Remember? He was another one.
Oh, I love
Odell,
him.
We all know what Odell did. I mean, Odell set records the first three seasons. It was insane. He was insane, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what you're hoping for. That's what I'm really excited about, Jared. Can that offense be a little explosive, put more points on the board? That's what I'm really excited about, to see this kid, put him on the outside. And then you got Slay, and you got Hyatt in his second year, and Wandell, who we're really expecting big things.
Cannot wait to see what that kid can do in year three next to neighbors.
So I'm excited to see this offense, Jerry, if it gets much, you know, it's faster, we know.
Mm-hmm.
They get more explosive. They put points in the ball, plays down the field, and all that stuff. That's what I'm excited to see, because Malik Nabers is one explosive dude, you know?
Yeah. Excited neighbors, nervous for neighbors.
I don't know why he's nervous for neighbors. What does he mean? I don't know what he means by that, but
I guess some off-field stuff. But listen, I'm with you on that. And I'll say, I was going to say the wide receiving core, because of the addition of Nabers and what he can bring, you know, to the offense, and how much better the other guys are going to be because he's on the field. And in particular, Wandale. I'm not 10 years old anymore that I have favorite Giants, but I'm telling you right now, Chris, if I had a favorite Giant, Wandale Robinson's in the top three. I cannot wait to see what he does next year. He got, you know, he was explosive last year. He rebounded from the knee injury. He's a freaking gamer, undersized. Like, how do you not root for that guy? And now you're going to put him next to Nabers, who's a bona fide one, with Hyatt, who's probably maybe faster than everybody on the field. I just, you know, it spells 800-900 yards for that kid if we can get him the ball. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm excited about him.
So, Jerry, you asked me a two-part question, I believe, right?
It was mm-hmm. Yep.
And what are you not – I'm sorry, Jerry, what was the second part?
What are you concerned with?
Well, you know, Jerry, I'm concerned about – I mean, we've been talking about this for 700 years, it feels like. I'm still concerned about the offensive line.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned about the defense in a way, because they haven't stopped the run the last few years, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same – you know, you look at it, the defense go, well, they could still have problems stopping the run, all right?
Yeah.
And I'm still concerned – not still, but I'm concerned about the cornerback position.
So, wow, you have a lot of concerns.
Yeah. I mean, I'm concerned about that corner opposite of Tay Banks, you know? Because you're going against real good receivers in this division, and as everybody knows by now, the Eagles went out. I went from A.J. Brown gets an extension. I thought he was going to be off the freaking team the way he was acting towards the end of last year. He winds up from going, maybe running himself out of town with his mouth to getting a 3-year extension.
Yeah.
So, and we already know they extended Devontae Smith. So you got Terry McLaurin's in this division, Jerry. Obviously, C.D. Lamb's in this division. And I look at it and I say, you know, man, I'm concerned about that other corner spot, right?
Oh, huge. Yeah.
So I'm concerned.
Who's got the inside track to that?
Cordell.
Cordell.
I think the spot's going to be on the outside. I think they'll look at Andrew Phillips, the inside and outside during camp, and we'll see how it plays out. But right now, I think Flott has the inside track in that. I do.
Okay.
And Jerry, like I said, the offensive line, because, we look at this line and there's so many – I mean, Evan Neal's a question mark. Let's face it. He's a question mark, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Jerry. He's a question mark, you know? I mean, did they hope they improved it, this line, with the signings, you know, of the Runyon and Jermaine Illuminor?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. They hope they improved. But, Jerry, you've seen this before. With free agency, you know, we're like, oh, it looks like we improved the line. We signed this guy, and it really didn't.
And it really improves it if they can both play guard, because that means Neal's working at right tackle. That's how it improves it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Illuminor, like, if it was the right tackle, all right, we still got a right guard problem now. But if Neal can function as a right tackle and those guys can play guard, then I'm way more excited offensive line.
Jerry, listen, we're talking about this now, April 29th.
But after 3 days, Chris, if you say to me, oh, no, and Neal just doesn't have it, I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Flush 2024 down the toilet.
And look, this is April 29th. You know, we could be having this conversation on August 1st, and we'd be like, man, Evan Neal looks like a different guy.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, you're going to be like, whoa, you know, I feel real good about this line now. Illuminor, a guard, Runyon, a guard, Schmitz. Right. You know, and we're going to be like, wow, we feel real good. We're just talking about right now. You know, we're talking about right now. And because if anybody could sit here right now on April 29th and tell Jerry Foley and Chris Bisignano, I feel real good about Evan Neal, then I suggest you get yourself into a local lab too and get drug tested, because I don't think there's anybody that feels good about Evan Neal right now.
Or you, I'm laughing. I just got a text.
Yeah. I mean, the Crunch Bunch is right. Look, look, the Crunch Bunch is right. You know, there's going to be flexibility. You know, there's going to be movement on this roster. Veterans coming down the line, you know, all that stuff. So this is early. It's early in the ballgame. It's only April, man. It's the end of April.
A buddy of mine just texted me and said, listen to you guys talk really puts into perspective how far away we still are. That's not the intention of this. We're just trying to, you know, keep it real, if you will. But I'm it's funny you named all those concerns. I would say for me, it's the offensive line. Like, first off, I'm just tired of talking about it. And I really hope Carmen Brasillo is just the man. I always feel like, what was the most important acquisition we made this year? Malik Nabers followed by a close running Carmen Brasillo. And Brian Burns, those three, they're all interchangeable.
Yeah.
Cause if Brasillo can get Neal to resemble the guy in college, then like I said, the two guys you brought in are going to be guard. Mm-hmm. You would hope John Michael Schmitz gets better. He's got a good attitude and a good work ethic. He was the number one center last year. You think it's going to work. Then it's like, you know what you got with Andrew Thomas, one of the best top three left tackles in the league.
Yep.
So then it's like, all right, cool. Yeah, thanks, Dan. Yeah, no sugarcoating. Like, again, we're just trying to, like, be realists here, you know? It's the last thing we want to do is sugarcoat and just be freaking downers. And I'm telling you right now, I've said it before.
I'm sorry, Jay.
Guys, I hope Daniel Jones throws for 40 touchdowns and runs for another 15. Like, I will sit here and I will eat crow. I will be so happy too. I do not root for guys to solidify my agenda. I hope it works, because it's year six now. It's like, all right, dude, we think we're improving the line. If we improve the line, we just added a number one receiver. We're giving you weapons. This is it, dude. You got to get it done now. That's it. So go ahead,
Jerry. What you were just saying, I just sort of piggybacked that a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
The biggest acquisition this offseason could be Carmen Brasillo.
Yeah, right.
If this guy gets these guys and elevates their games, that is going to be the biggest acquisition in this offseason.
I would get a jersey that says Brasillo on the back with whatever number he wanted me to get.
Jerry, I want to give you an example.
Yeah.
The Eagles yesterday went out and signed Mekhi Becton.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to ask you this. And I talked to Tyree Phillips. And I remember when he came back to the Giants. We'll get that in a second. But what about Mekhi Becton? Jerry, a one-year, $5 million deal, and they're going to put him in Statland U. Right?
Yes.
Now, do you want Mekhi Becton? And the first thing I thought when I saw that was like, holy shit, they're going to get themselves a tackle here. You watch this. Watch what Statland does with this kid.
Yeah.
Not saying it's guaranteed, but
it's such an easy acquisition for them, right? Because they have the best offensive line coach in the league. So of course you're going to say, let's try this cast off who didn't work and didn't really have himself in shape. You know, let's see what Statland can do. Can Statland have him become someone like Andrew Thomas, who, oh, by the way, there were four guys taken in that draft. It was Thomas, Wills, Becton, and Wirfs. So yeah, he's one of those. So if anyone can get anything out of it, and by the way, Bill, just want to thank you, buddy. Nice job. Yes.
Yes.
Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
Lundy's Crazy with Shows. You guys, Goofballs, Revival, Giants Rush, Only Football. It's too much to watch. Thanks for the show, though. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, bud.
But Jerry, yeah, Chris, I'm with you. To me, Billy Callahan, Dante Scarnecchia, great offensive line coaches, you know.
Yeah.
And they made differences with their teams. They made differences.
Yeah.
I love what Carmen Brasillo did with Vegas the last 2 years, especially last year. I loved what he did with those guys. Because I looked at those guys, and then I saw Vegas during the season, and I said, whoa, they should not be playing this well. You know?
And that's what makes me feel good about Luminor coming over with him.
And Luminor, absolutely. Right. I look at Priscilla and say, this guy could be the biggest acquisition this offseason. Right. With these guys, especially with Evan Neal. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not putting him in Scarnecchia, and I'm not putting him in Bill Callahan's class and all that. But I'm just saying that he's a good coach, that he did who really coached those guys up in Vegas the last few years. And I said, man, this guy could do that over here. This is quite a fine. I'm sorry. This is, to elevate these guys, Jerry, especially Evan Neal. You know what I mean? And that's going to be, obviously, that's going to be his number one project, Jerry. We know that. I mean, you think he's over here. You know what I mean? You got to get Evan Neal going, right? You got to get Evan Neal. Jerry, I talk about Stalin.
Hang on one second, Chris. We're going to take one more break, guys. 40 minutes in already. You're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast. Hang on one second. And we're back, folks. Listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody beats the biz Ignato. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, when Tyree Phillips came back to the Giants last year, and he played pretty good football for them, right?
Yes, he did.
And he was crediting him with Jeff Stalin, right? He was like, I went to Stalin U. And I remember talking in a locker room with Tyree, who's, very upbeat dude. And, I hate to say, reminded me a lot of Corey Cunningham. Very outgoing guy and all that stuff. But, So we'll talk about Tyree, at his locker room. Talk about Stalin at his locker one day. I was like, Tyree, man, you talked about Stalin. I said, that good? I was like, he goes, man, he changed so much stuff in me. Foot-wise, hand. He goes, man, he just made me a better football player.
What was he there, 3 months, Chris?
Incredible, right? Incredible. So, and I'm saying to myself, by the way, at the time, I'm saying to myself, won't you on the Bobby Johnson too here? And I'm saying to myself, okay, he wasn't saying that about Bobby Johnson. He said he went to Stoutland, you came back a different tackle. And I'm saying to myself, you see how big coaching is? So
that's the only thing that gives me hope with the Commanders that Bobby Johnson went there. Go ahead. I got to be honest.
Yeah. So, so we'll see. I think this Priscilla could be a huge signing, bringing him over here from Vegas, man. We'll find out in the season, next season, but that could be huge, man. No question.
Now, are you psyched about? Are you as psyched as I am about what this pass rush could be, though? Stopping the run, but the pass rush should be fun.
Should be fun. I mean, Brian Burns. Come on, Jerry. Right? I mean, Brian Burns, Thibodeau, Aziz, Dex.
Please, Aziz.
Yeah.
Please stay healthy. Stretch, buddy. Stretch.
Yeah. So you got to be excited about that, right? You have to be excited about it. But you also have to stop the run. You don't want to be in third and threes either, but you obviously won't be all the time. So yeah, I mean, those guys off the edge. I mean, how the hell could Brian Burns not help Thibodeau's game?
Oh, he has to. They're fishing together now too, and they're fishing together.
Yeah. How could they not help his game? You know what I mean, Jerry? He's got to help Thibodeau's game, man.
Now the front, the defensive front, if it's a strict four, right? Say the three down linemen, Dexter Lawrence, I would imagine Jordan Riley gets a shot this year, you think?
Sure.
Or no?
Why not?
Davidson, Nacho. All right. So maybe they feel better about it.
Nice little rotation mix in. One guy probably Yanni out, but they're looking for a nice little rotation mix in. No question about it.
Yeah. And again, it's like, I think like Bobby Okereke brings a ton to the table, is arguably the MVP of the defense last year. Mm-hmm. It's just that other cornerback spot, like you said, the corner and the ability to stop the run. I just hope, I hope they're better at it than I'm thinking we're going to look right now. That's all.
Yeah.
Stopping the run.
And, you got to be good in that red zone, third down defense and all that stuff. So that we won't know until we start playing in September. That opposite corner right now going into camp. Going to the OTAs, and that's going to be a concern of mine. But we'll see.
I'm rooting for Nick McLeod there. I shouldn't say it that way, but it wouldn't surprise me if Nick McLeod won that over Flott. It just wouldn't, because it's a guy. Not that you have doubt, but he was a free agent they picked up, and he's a good special teams player. He's good in the slot. He's versatile. I would love to see him win that just for him. I like him.
Because he's a Notre Dame guy?
I guess. My dad was a big Notre Dame guy, so I had nothing against Notre Dame. I like Nick McLeod, man. I really do.
I like him too, man. So, hey, Jerry, the competition will be on at the end of July, brother.
When you're at camp, so let some insight here. When do you have a good idea as to who's winning a competition? Is it what you're seeing, or is it they're with the ones an awful lot?
Yeah. When they're with the ones a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the first few weeks is I would say about I say in about that third week, you start seeing it. You know, because everybody's moving back and forth, you know, in the first few weeks or so. Guys getting reps with ones. I say it about in the third week, you start seeing a guy with ones. I remember we saw with Tate Banks last year.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You start seeing guys with ones on the offensive line where, you know, who's with the ones, who's that right guard, who's left guard more, you know, and stuff like that. You know, you start getting a feel who they like it, put it that way.
I should have mentioned Isaiah Simmons too. He's back. He'll be fun to watch, I think.
Yeah, because he's going to be in that safety role a lot. They'll be moving him around. You know, I like him, Jerry. I'm glad they
brought him. No, dude, I'm with you. I wanted him back.
Yeah, I'm glad they brought Isaiah back.
Why is he not playing so much? Why is he not playing enough last year?
Yeah. I think Shane Bowen will have a role for him in that three safety look, dude.
Yeah.
You know, that Tyler Newbin, Jason Pinnock, and Isaiah Simmons look. I think you're going to see that a lot this year. I really do.
Now, there's no chance they bring back Adoree, right? That ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed, though. Matter of fact, I think Andrew Phillips has got his number.
Oh, that's right. He does. 22.
I think he already took his number.
Yeah, and I saw Newbin has 31. I love that for a safety number. I'm a big numbers guy. I like that. Yeah.
Dan Mann says 10 days until the schedule release. Thank you, Dan. I wasn't quite sure the date. Is that official? I guess Dan knows. Yeah, okay. Something came out.
I didn't know it was this close to the draft. I thought it was a little later on, but...
No, I remember it's always around the beginning of May. I just wasn't quite sure. I guess maybe Dan knows something. He actually put 10 days.
I just hope it's, you know, let's open up to the Commanders at home. Let's give ourselves a shot. So, not to be a downer, but okay.
You don't want to see Dallas.
I don't want to see Dallas again, you know. Every year we think it. Every year we think we're closing the gap. Now Dallas is doing some strange things, right? They're signing Ezekiel Elliott. Okay, great. You know, Gallup is gone. He went to the Raiders. They're going to have a problem with CeeDee Lamb now that, you know, and I know that Howie Roseman does this, right? Like, he sets the market. Now you signed Brown. Now CeeDee Lamb's going to want a big contract too. There's going to be an issue there. So there's going to be some turmoil. Dak Prescott, is he ever going to be able to do it? But every time we lay out these solid arguments as to why we think we've closed the gap, we can't beat the Cowboys. So let's not play them for a little bit. That's all. I don't want it week one.
I hate it.
Just give us
after last season.
Right, like a feel good, like a winnable game in week one. Right. So you know, like, all right, we're 1-0.
How about the Saints? Something, you know,
right? Something like that.
What are we playing? The NFC South, right? How about Carolina? Come on. How about Atlanta with Kirk Cousins? What do you think? Oh, Michael Penix. No,
Michael Penix. Oh my God! Wow, that's crazy. Still, guys, ask the questions. Fire away, man. We'll answer any. Oh, any undrafted free agents that you're excited about?
No, kicker? I don't know. I really don't know anybody. Sorry.
The kicker from Rutgers, the lineman from what, South Dakota?
Yeah, I see this North Dakota State kid, Jake Kubis.
North Dakota State.
A lot of people tweet, hey, you're going to like this guy, blah, blah, blah. So, okay. I didn't see many North Dakota State games last year.
No.
But I go by
what is whack?
But a lot of people, you know, they do know these kids or whatever connection to a conference, and they watch this. And I see some people tweeting saying, hey, this kid, watch this guy, this and that. So, okay. Yep. We'll see.
Syverson probably knows what they eat for breakfast, Mania. Well,
Syverson, you know, we're going to have him on pretty soon. I'm sure he probably does know him, you know. So,
yeah. You know, he's like, I like him. I don't like his diet that much. Like,
yeah. Right, cool. In game four against Wyoming, you know. So, everybody else, Jerry, I don't know. I really don't know. I see they get signed a West Florida kid, a wide receiver. I don't know why they signed him. Two wide receivers. Okay.
Not enough on the roster, I guess.
Yeah. So, linebacker and defensive back. I like to see that. Alex Johnson from UCLA, they signed him. Hey, look, Jerry, you know, it's not illegal to have an undrafted free agent guy make your roster.
Sure.
And play.
Yeah, right.
That's allowed in the NFL.
Right.
Real good teams always have a few, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
Yep. When do we have Dave? Dave won't grade the draft, Rob. He won't grade it because he says you can't grade it. And he wisely says you can't grade it, but he'll give his assessment of who we got. And, you know, he'll have an opinion on each person, but you don't, you know, we don't want to grade a draft till 3 years later. And right now we'd be grading the 2021 draft. And I don't want to talk about that right now. So
prime example, two things. I forget which guy had Patrick Mahomes C- when he drafted him.
Well, a lot of guys were bashing it. That was a reach. This guy is, okay.
And Daniel Jeremiah, who does an excellent job. When the Jets drafted Zach Wilson, he was raving about him. Wait, the Jets fans see this guy. They're going to love him. We'll find out when he stopped playing, okay?
Right. Francesa loves Zach Wilson, so that was the telltale right there.
Did he?
Anybody he likes, you got to just kind of go the other way. Yes, McAdoo did want Mahomes, Farries. Absolutely, he did. There was a rumor about the Giants trying to trade up for him.
Should have kept McAdoo.
Yeah, right. And if we got Mahomes with McAdoo, he would not be the Patrick Mahomes that plays for Andy Reid. So,
Eddie Flo is the next favorite pick after the first round. Well, it's going to be, to me, it's Tyler Newbin.
Yeah. The most intriguing is the running back, but Newbin has to be. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Number one safety on everyone's board. And like you said, Chris, ball hawk. And what I loved about him and what I saw was the ball hawk ability down the field and then closer to the line of scrimmage, jumping routes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he could play that deep center. It reminds me of McKinney. He does a lot of it. McKinney could play that deep center.
Yeah, yeah.
He come up in that box, and all that stuff. So he reminds me of Zay a lot,
And he's going to be about $18 million cheaper. So
Alex Nags asked a question here, Jerry. So, Chris, you said before the draft we need impact players. Yes, you do. Besides neighbors, who do we get as an impact player? Well, I don't know yet, Alex. We'll see when they start playing. But if I had a guess, I'll go with Tyler Newbin.
Yeah.
I'll go with Tyler Newbin right now. But, guys, we don't notice when they start playing.
I think Johnson can be. I just don't think it's going to be right away because tight end's a tough position. But Johnson, Theo could be. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think Caleb Williams, Dan Mann asked, do you think Caleb Williams thinks he's the second coming of Holmes like he thinks he is? I think Caleb Williams thinks he's the second coming of Jesus coming back. Yeah. To be honest with you. He's a very confident kid. We'll see when they start playing. He's already talking playoffs and this and that. Guy, relax. This is not USC. So
775 watching this, guys. Thanks for the support. Thank you, man. We really appreciate it. Yeah, I love this line, Tom. Mm. Tyler Newbin, you'll get it all. You will get it all. This is the best decision you made in the entire draft. And someone who's grateful. It's going to be a very easy guy to root for, Tyler Newbin. Absolutely, man.
Oh, I think he's going to be a fan favorite, bro. I think fans are going to love this dude. I really do.
Yeah.
Jared, just before I forget, rookie camp, May 10th and 11th. Okay? Mm-hmm. Giants always hold it a couple weeks after the draft. Dave likes to do that for some reason. But May 10th and 11th, rookie camp, they'll be inviting some guys in. Tryouts is too. Some of these guys, veterans, sometimes come in and they work out. Rookie camp, get a good look on them,
Yeah.
It's still Caleb Hate.
No, we don't hate him.
I don't hate anybody. It's football.
We don't hate Caleb.
Okay. Nobody hates anybody.
Just he's football. Extremely confident young
he's
man.
He's a confident kid, and he thinks he's going to be this and that. Okay, we'll see. Nobody hates anybody.
So was Johnny Manziel.
We'll
see.
So May 10th and 11th is a rookie camp, which is always interesting, Jerry, to see these guys,
Rob's comment. I can't read it, but it's pretty funny. Let's hope the neighbor's shoes fit for F's sake. Kadarius Tony reference.
Jerry, I'm anxious to see him in person. I really am.
Oh, God. Chris, Tay Banks covering him. I think someone said it before. I apologize for not pointing it out. Tay Banks covering neighbors is going to be fun in practice, I would imagine. You get some battles there, dude.
Yeah, I'll be probably seeing that in mini camp, mandatory camp.
Where they
kind of go at it a little bit. You know what I mean? So that'd be interesting. Yeah, I'll be seeing that in mandatory mini camp in June. That should be very interesting because Tay loves the challenge, and this kid Neighbors is a burner.
he really came on towards the end. It's another guy It's funny because we're sitting here, we're trying to get we're trying to be realist, but there's a lot of guys to be excited about. Like Burns, Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence, sure. Tay Banks, Okereke. As we name them, we're there's spots where we think they should improve, but there's a lot to be excited about too. There's really good players on this defense. So, K-Mac, can you explain the nobody should be talking division tweet? Yeah, if Vegas has odds, I'm going to bet they have the Giants as the longest shot of the four teams to win the division. So, look, Brian Daboll and team, they're going to try to win the division. But, are we expecting a division title this year? I'd be amazed. So that's where the tweet came from. holy shit, guys. Seriously, like, your confidence in the Giants is way more than mine and Chris's, but okay, I hope we're wrong. But that's where it came from. I would imagine Vegas has the Commanders with a better shot at winning the division. But we'll see. That's why we play the games, right? No one thought the Rangers would win the President's Cup trophy. But here we are. So, yes. There you go. Yeah, I had to throw in something for the Rangers.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Joe, I don't need Vegas. I just look at the rosters.
No, I know. But I'm telling you, Vegas is going to have the Giants as...
Probably third, right?
I would think the fourth team. I would think they'd probably have the Commanders. Really? I think. I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
Depends how they look.
I'm sure they're even out already.
Right.
Those odds, so. Yeah. Not that I give a crap about those odds, but, you know.
I'm sure. No, me neither. I don't care either. Let's see. Will the change in coordinator affect Bank much style-wise? Probably not.
No, I don't expect it to change it much.
Nope. I'm with you, Jerry. Giants signed Chaz Neal, cousin of Evan Neal. All right. Wow. Signed two blocking tight ends, more three tight end sets coming. No, I don't think so. I have no idea what they're thinking there. I just think it's more of a depth kind of a signing with the two blocking tight ends, especially with, you know, they didn't know they were going to, they're probably trying to draft a tight end in the draft, but until it falls, you don't know if you're going to be able to get one that you want. And then with Waller's, career up in the air right now, they had to sign more tight ends. So, that's all that is. Yeah, I know. Jaden Daniels is skinny. I was going to ask something else. Oh, I lost my train of thought with some of these comments. Damn it. It was a decent question, too. You know what? I want to ask you, Chris.
Yeah. Jerry.
The buddy of mine, Rothen, the guy I met in Denver, he emails me all the time now. He asked, is there anyone on the Giants... It's a good question. Is there anyone on the Giants who's outperforming their contract right now? And I had to think about it because I'm like, all right, like Andrew Thomas got rewarded. I wouldn't say he's outperforming it. He just got rewarded, right?
He
just got
rewarded, yeah.
Burns is expensive because, you know, the trade is making so we just signed him. But like, I tried to think about it. Like, is there anyone like a Victor Cruz, like his rookie year?
Maybe Bobby Okereke.
You think Okereke might be one of them, right?
I think Okereke is one of them. The year he gave his leg.
Look at Robert Evans. Nice job. I don't think Dex is outperforming it. He's great.
Outperforming it? No, he's making.
He's getting paid what he deserves, right?
Yeah.
But I thought that was a good question because I really was like thinking about it. Like, man, who's outperforming? Like, if Wandell Robinson gets like 1,000 yards next year, I'd say he's outperforming his rookie contract, right? I think Neighbors has a shot at doing it. Tay Banks has a shot. But right now, Chris, Bobby O might be the only one that's outperforming the contract. Yeah. But I thought it was worth asking because I couldn't think of anybody.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I would go with Bobby O right now. Yeah.
I don't think Darius Slayton's outperforming his contract. He's good, but
yeah.
Wow. It's another one. Slayton. All right.
I don't know about outperforming. 2 years, 12 million. What do you get? 2 years, 12 million?
Yeah.
He had a good season. I don't know. I don't know if I consider it outperforming his contract, you know. That's why he wants a new contract. They're right. That's why he wants a new contract, Jerry.
Yeah.
I outperformed. Give me some more money.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, dude. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Hour in.
Jerry, I just want to give a shout out to my and I know you had to love this, bro. You had to love this yesterday afternoon.
Oh, I did.
A shout out to my Knicks, who not only went into Philadelphia and beat the Sixers.
Yeah.
But how about the New York fans
taking
over that arena? And Jerry, in all the years I've been watching sports, I'm not quite sure I've ever seen that in Philadelphia.
Never.
Not only were they taking over the arena, they were outside the arena chanting Knicks in five, I had a look and I'm saying to myself, I have never seen this in Philly. I don't think I've ever seen this.
And they put the Knicks jersey on Wilt Chamberlain's statue. Like, oh my God. I've never, ever, ever seen that before in my life.
Yeah,
ever.
Richie. That's why I'm so dark. That's why I've been drinking water too, Richie. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jerry. Richie, that's why I've been drinking water every 2 seconds, because I played today and it was 87 degrees out and I'm still drinking water. Go ahead.
No, I've never seen that before. The chanting. I mean, in the what's it called? In like the lobby or whatever you call it at the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, chanting like F Embiid, like, oh my God. And I sent to my Giant fan buffoon crew text chain. I said, I really wish this could ever be the Giants one day, because I've seen the Knicks do it now. I've seen the Ranger fans take over and start chanting Igor at other stadiums, right? And you can hear it. But that Knick one, I've never seen anything like that, where it was just, I mean, in the parking lot, in the what the hell is it called? Not the lobby, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh my God, I'm losing my mind. In this, you know, the Knick fans overtaking the Sixer fans in the stand. The Sixer fans look stunned that was happening.
Jerry, in the first quarter, when a Knick score, you know, when a Knicks
concourse,
yeah, in the concourse section, yeah. I'm sorry,
oh
Jerry.
God,
when the Knicks were scoring, you know, buckets in the first quarter, and I heard the roar. Yeah, I'm like, whoa, what?
Yeah,
I never heard. Look, Jerry, we've had plenty of Giants teams that went into Philadelphia over the years and kicked the shit out of them.
Right.
You know, and I never heard that, dude. Never. I mean, I've heard Giant fans in Philly. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But not like actually taking over the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And right. We've had some very dominant Giant teams go into Philly.
Right.
And kick the crap out of Philly.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard anything remotely close to that in football. I was shocked, Jerry, to see that. I loved it, dude. I could not believe. And then after the game, chanting Knicks in five and everybody going up and down and throwing Eagles, I was going to say, Sixer jerseys on the floor and stomping on them. And this, I couldn't believe. Yeah. Did you see the scene outside the arena? You look like Madison Square Garden. I'm like,
crazy.
This isn't the Garden. This is Philly. Yep. I could not. Dude, shout out to the Knick fans. I wish I was there. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Knicks fans who went into that arena yesterday, and my boy Jalen did his thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And he just was incredible. And the fans, I saw Knick guys, some Jack Knick fans with the jerseys on, no sleeve, you know, Jerry? I'm like,
yeah.
They're not playing. They're like, F you, Philly. We're coming in here. We're going to kick the crap, and we're going to. It was incredible, Jerry.
I was thinking
of you, Jerry. Jerry, you had—I don't know if you watched the game yesterday.
I watched, of course, absolutely.
You had to love that, bro. That was insane.
Jalen Brunson is getting an extremely casual fan like me to care about it.
Jerry,
I mean, he looks like the dad in the backyard who beats the shit out of all the kids. Like, I look at him and I'm like, I don't know what you got here. And then you watch him play, 6'2", the shots he makes, the fadeaways. Holy crap, dude. He's so good. And what a gamer he is. Like, oh my God.
Jerry,
easy to root for.
I haven't bought a Knicks jersey in a long time, bro.
Right.
Since back the Sprewell days. I got to be honest with you, you know?
Yeah.
I bought a Spree jersey back in 98, 99, whatever the hell he was, you know, over when he first came off.
Yep.
And Knicks went to the finals with him in 99 and all that stuff. I haven't, Jerry, I was telling my wife, man, I was like, I think I'm buying a Brunson. I mean, I would love this dude, you know, so it was insane, bro. I just wanted to give that shout out to the Giants fans because it was in Philly. That's why I'm saying this so much.
Oh, the Knicks fans were awesome, dude.
Yeah. I have never seen that before in a Philadelphia arena, stadium, baseball park, anything. I've never seen it.
And I also learned watching that game what a dirty player Joel Embiid is, bro.
I didn't know that. Yeah, he was always a chippy guy.
Oh.
And he always likes to play the innocent act. Whoa, I'm sorry.
And when Brunson asked him, what the hell is that for? He's like, I hit you? I'm like, oh, come on. You know, you raised the elbow up. Wow. Yeah,
so I got some Philly fans, you know, just.
Yeah, we all
quickly,
do.
Just quickly, Jerry, you know, and I got a very good friend of mine. He's a big time Philly Sixer fan, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And when Embiid was going to the line the last game and going to the line last game, two games ago in the last game, he throws me a text. He throws me a text saying, Moses Malone again. And I said, oh, slow down. Let's see what he does in the fourth quarter. And he was he disappeared in the fourth quarter. He's not Moses Malone.
All four games disappeared in the fourth quarter.
So, I mean, he's a good player, but anyway, I just not to get too much on basketball, but shout out to the Knicks fans. And hopefully tomorrow night, Jerry can wrap this thing up and because it's so much more interest in this show because it's Philly. There's no question about it.
1,000%, Chris.
There's no question about it. You know,
I said it myself. I'm like, I'm totally watching this series. I just want to see what happens.
Yeah, and I look, Jerry. I know you don't remember this because you're a little, just a tad bit younger, a little bit younger than me. But I remember even in '81 when the Giants went into Philly, with Rob Carpenter and upset him in a wild card game, which I didn't think we were going to win. I was like, we ain't beating Philly in Philly. Philly was good. Yeah. I mean, they were good.
Yeah.
Right. And the Giants went in there and knocked them off, and Carpenter had 100 yards. And I forget it like it's yesterday, Jerry. And it was Giant fans. I remember Giant fans. Oh, you hear it? Oh, nothing, Jerry, like yesterday. Nothing.
Yep.
And Jerry, you do know, you do remember the Banks, Lawrence years, and Lenny Marshall years, and the whole deal going into Philly and just smacking the shit out of him. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. Never heard like any yesterday. That was incredible, dude.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good. Yeah, watched the whole thing, dude. Like I said, I was interested because it was the Sixers. And then watching Jalen Brunson, it's like a pleasure to watch him play, man. Holy crap. It's almost like I feel like I'm missing out. So.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll come back next week and maybe we'll have Dave on.
Yeah.
We talk about some of these kids. Mini camp in a couple of weeks, May 10th and 11th, like I said.
Yep.
We'll check out these kids live, you know, check out these kids in person and all that stuff. And then we got some, if anybody's wondering, you know, the media's, there'll be a media availability. And some of these OTAs at the end of May, we always have availability to some OTAs, not all of them, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mandatory camp in June, which, you know, May 1st is in 2 days. And then you're a month away from a little over a month from mandatory mini camp. Incredible, right, dude?
Right.
And then, you know, before you know, we'll be talking about training camps. So it goes fast, bro. That's all I can say. It goes fast.
Yep. Good stuff. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Like Chris said, we'll probably try to have Dave Syverson back on to go over these draft picks. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.